Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Backyard. You're listening to Backyard Labrish on Blog Talk Radio. Today is June 3rd, and it's a beautiful day here in Atlanta, Georgia, home of the Backyard Labrish. And we want to welcome our callers this evening as we celebrate St. Catherine. As most of our callers know, we're doing an island tour. Even for those of us who are from the island, we don't know a lot about each individual parish. So this is our seventh week in this island tour, and we have seven more weeks to go because the island of Jamaica has 14 beautiful parishes, all with special things about them that a lot of the people in the diaspora may just be finding out for the first time. So it is my pleasure to bring you some info this evening on St. Catherine. And I think I have my loyal fan from the Bronx, or home of the Yankees. And if you're on, Mr. Loyal Fan, would you please raise your hand by hitting 1 on your telephone? Or I see we have callers from 631 and 516. At any time that you want to interact with us, and we have people listening online, please, callers, would you please let us know by hitting 1 on your telephone? So, as I said, this is Margaret welcoming you to the Backyard. I hope you're settled in your favorite chair. And wherever you are in the world that you're listening from tonight, we hope that you can just close your eyes and remember your wonderful times, even if you just visited on the island when you felt the trade winds blowing across your face. Perhaps you were under your favorite tree, or by the beach, or someplace just chilling. So again, welcome, and we're going to talk about St. Catherine this evening. So I need help from my callers, so please put your hand up when you want to jump into the Labrish here. Remember, that's what a Labrish is about. At first, I want to tell you a little bit about Backyard Labrish. And Backyard Labrish was put together more or less to help people who have left the island a long time to sort of get in touch with some wonderful memories that you may have had growing up in Jamaica, whatever part of the island you grew up on. Even if you were not born there, a lot of people who were not born in Jamaica was raised in Jamaica, as we call it. And we just have fond memories, and for those of us who don't go back often enough or don't go back at all, this is a platform that we can listen and remember and participate, so I want to welcome you all. So let's start out about a little with what we're going to discuss tonight. And this week, as we continue our island tour, the Labrish will bring you to light some little-known facts and interesting information about St. Catherine. I know I lived there when I was perhaps 6 or 7, and I have some memories that I would like to share tonight. But St. Catherine basically is a very historic place, especially Spanish Down, because it was the first capital of Jamaica when it was owned by the Spaniards. So that there's a lot to talk about that period. However, there is so much to cover in every parish. So what we do here is just sort of tickle your fancy and give you a little tidbits, and hopefully it will bring back memories or stimulate your passion or love for your country, if it's your country, or if you're just a person who went to Jamaica and fell in love with it, or you like the Jamaican culture or whatever. But we hope that the information will be interesting and helpful in some way. Anyway, St. Catherine was the first European place to be part of the island to be inhabited when it was discovered, because there's evidence that there was the Indians that lived there were there a whole centuries before it was actually discovered by the Spaniards. So, you know, right now they're still finding different things that will point to their existence. I think it was, in my last talk, it was like 600 before Christ, you know. So this is, our country is very, very, very old. And as I mention each week, that I am a senior, and I go way back. But to think that, you know, way back, even before my forefathers and their forefathers before them, there were people, humans, enjoying the beautiful things that we have available to us on the island. It makes me really, really feel very special and very good. And I'm hoping that some of this information will be found by some of the younger generation, and it will sort of rekindle a lot of the passion that I'm sure they really have, but they don't even realize it right now, so they can preserve some of the things that are so special about our island. So let me start off by telling you a little history about St. Catherine itself. First of all, it is listed as one of the largest parishes in Jamaica. I was not too up to date on my history, so a lot of these things are, I don't know if I just forgot them or what, but I always mention like I'm like a kid in a china shop when I discover some of these things that seem so new to me. Anyway, St. Catherine is located in the southeast of Jamaica. It is in the county of Middlesex, as some of our historians will know. We have Cornwall, Middlesex, and Surrey are the three counties, as they call them. And it is listed as one of the largest parishes. It includes the first capital of Jamaica. It was then called St. Diego de la Vega, as we all know from our history in school. And it was later changed to Spanish Town. Now, St. Catherine is bordered by St. Andrew in the east, Clarendon in the west, St. Mary, and St. Anne in the north. It has over 1,000 square kilometers. I'm not sure how that measures to miles, I mean acres. And if any of our listeners know, they can fill me in on that. They say making it Jamaica's fourth largest parish. Except for the Hillshire Hills near the coast, the south of the parish is virtually flat. And for some of us who know that, you know, a lot of who don't know that, like our foreigners that might just go to the North Coast, a lot of the island is very mountainous. You know, we who grow up there know that traveling from one part of the island to the next, we always have to go over a lot of mountains. As we call the valleys in Jamaica, we had a lot of precipices. I don't know if any of our listeners, if they still call it that. But I remember traveling on the roads and looking down, it seems like it was endless. But St. Catharines seemed to have a lot of flatlands. Now, the south of the parish is virtually flat, as I mentioned. The central and northern sections are very mountainous, however. The northern border is on Mount Diablo. And I remember driving, you know, hearing that word when I was going by truck in my days. I remember some of my family had some people who was in the trucking business, and I would ride with the driver up front. And I remember when we were going over those hills, I was so scared. I was quite small at the time anyhow, and I was traveling from Kingston to Westmoreland, which was mostly by diesel, but every now and then I think I remember being on a truck once or twice sitting in the front of this great big vehicle. Anyway, I'll go on to tell a little bit more about St. Catherine. I remember living in a Spanish town. I think it was when the Second World War broke out at 19... perhaps in the 40s, early 40s or late 30s. And it seemed like such a great big place to me, of course. On Spanish Town being the capital of St. Catherine, it would have a lot more going on. But even to today, it has the most historical buildings because it has a lot of things that are was left over from when it was the capital under Spanish ownership. So I see my switchboard is full, and I want to welcome everyone that's calling in from 631-516-718 and so on. And to ask you, I don't think my co-host is off on doing something with her kids, I think, today. And my favorite fan from the Bronx apparently is not online. So I am going to ask you to help me out here because it gets lonely in the backyard when you don't put up your hands. So just hit one on your keyboard if you would like to join the Labrish. And I want to remind you all that's what Labrishing is all about. This is not a platform for, you know, just me talking and telling you stuff. I want you to interact with me because part of what we want to do is to leave a footprint for other generations to know how passionate we were about the memories we brought with us or we have with us of growing up in Jamaica. Because I think for me, it was a very special time of my life. And I want to make sure that when my grandchildren go online, they can find out some information that they will know was important to me about my roots and how I grew up. Because I am not a product of the new Jamaica, you know, I can only talk about the time that I knew about. And I knew that it was a special time, and although I left when I was quite young, now that I'm retired and I have more time and I'm doing some research, I am just getting rejuvenated about how special my little island really is. It was, it has always been, and I hope it will continue to produce some very exciting information and talent for the rest of the world. So back to St. Catherine now. The parish also accounts for the largest population in the country with well over 500,000 residents. Most of the people live in Portmore. Now, that is a place I don't even know. I have no idea where Portmore is, but it's built here as the largest community in the Caribbean. Over out of all the parishes, with the exception of Kingston and St. Andrew, St. Catherine shows the most potential for urban development with its good water sources, virtually flat landscape, and nearness to the capital now, which is Kingston. In a few years, it could possibly be a major urban area in, continue to be a major urban area in the Caribbean. Now, I don't have any experience about that. I met a young man at my bank some time ago. He's a bank manager, and he told me he was from Portmore. And at the time he mentioned it, I didn't ask him what parish it was, but I saw him today, and he told me it was St. Catherine. And I said, oh, that's what I've been reading about. And I hope he's coming online, because he told me about some things that he heard about when he was growing up in St. Catherine that I would really like him to share. So we'll see if he'll raise his hands if he's online tonight. Anyway, agriculture remains the main source of employment in the parish. There are many farmers who practice mixed farming. Crops such as bananas, coconuts, pineapples, citrus, pumpkin, peppers, coffee, and callaloo, ooh, that sounds good, are planted for both domestic and commercial purposes. I suppose some of the callaloos and things we get in the cans perhaps comes from St. Catherine. The largest properties produce sugarcane, banana, and citrus, mainly for export. Dairy farms are also found in the parish. One of these is a 1,000-acre farm in Old Harbor. Now, the Salt Lake Pond District between Spanish Town and Port Henderson and Passage Fort is noted for the fine fish. And I'm speaking of that, you know, I could really, as I'm sitting in the backyard here, I have to remember the great escovitch that we can do and get in Jamaica. I haven't had some of that for a long time. But this is a special fish that comes from that area. It's spelled C-A-L-I-P-E-R-A, Calipari. I've never heard of that. I have no idea what that is. C-A-L-I-P-E-R-A. And if any of our listeners have had some of that at Port Henderson, please raise your hands and give me an idea of what fish family that is in, because this old lady don't remember that. Now, St. Catherine is next only to Kingston as an industrial center. Industrial plants are some of the biggest employers in the parish. Spanish Town is the largest salt-producing plant in the Caribbean, and the Jamaica Milk Products, an affiliate of Nestle's organization. So we have Nestle's out there now, I didn't know that, has a factory in Bog Walk, another major town in the parish. The largest power plant on the island, and several factories are located in Old Harbor. Twickenham Park, near Spanish Town, is another industrial estate with mainly high industries, including cigarettes, carpet, battery, plastic items, medical and pharmaceutical products. Now, I must say I had no idea all of this was going on in the Spanish Town area. Anyway, it seems that there is quite a lot of different kind of industries that's going on there now. But what I want to talk about a little is some of the history of Spanish Town, because I was reading about Sligoville, and I hope I'm saying that right, but it was one of the first free settlements after slavery. And I don't know if any of our listeners was familiar with that, but I have an encyclopedia of Jamaican heritage by Olive Senior, and it's a book that I was lucky enough to get as one of my birthday gifts from my niece on the island. And for those of you who might have children that are interested, I mean, children born in a foreign country, that might be interested in Jamaican history, this is a wonderful book publication for perhaps that you could get for your library. But let me just tell you a little bit about Sligoville, which is in St. Catherine. It is in the hills of the parish, and it is of historic interest because it was the location of the first free village to be established in the West Indies after the emancipation of the slaves. It was started by a Baptist minister at Spanish Town. He was the Reverend Filippo, who bought the land in 1835. The property was a wilderness, but even before slavery ended, it was cleared by church members who also started to build a church on this and school there. The land was subdivided into lots and sold, and eventually 200 families were settled. The purchase of the first lot of land was in June 1838, and he was a man named Henry Luman, who had been a slave and a head driver on an adjoining estate. The settlement was officially opened on the 12th of July in 1840. Now, I'm wondering if some of the school children that are going to school in St. Catherine are getting information about all of this. Because I also read where there's a church, I think it's the let me go back on some of these pages here. It's one of the oldest churches, you know, in the Western world. And on a particular day after slavery was abolished and the slaves got their freedom, they made a grave in this church and buried all the elements of slavery. I suppose their shackles and whatever reminded them of slavery. And that that church is still standing, and I'm just curious to know if all those things are being taught in the educational system. And again, I must ask any of my listeners who might be familiar with some of the current history that's being taught, because I'm not, to help me out here, because I just get very emotional about finding things like this out, because I think it's so nice to know that even, you know, long before we really even thought about it, there were a lot of foreigners who were helping people. You know, people are very hung up now, even in Jamaica, on the color, who's black and who's white, which never happened in my day. We were just all Jamaicans. But I hope that a lot of those people know that, you know, they have a rich heritage, and if some of the people would concentrate more on just celebrating some of the good things of the past instead of just the bad things, I think it would set a different tone, you know, in terms of just feeling better about yourself or getting ahead with your life. Because as in a lot of other parts of the world, people seem to be just focusing on all the bad things and all the evil that was done to you know, whoever at whatever time. But we can also find some great stories about, you know, good people among all different races, regardless of where they came from. But this particular, apparently he was a Baptist minister from what I could read here. But this man purchased the land, you know, subdivided it to make sure that these newly freed people could have some ownership. Now, the village was named Sligoville after the second, you know, some great person. He was the governor of Jamaica in 1834 during the period of apprenticeship. Sligo had inherited, his last name was Sligo, incidentally. He has inherited Jamaican properties through his grandmother, including Kelly's estate in Old Harbor area of St. Catherine Parish. Sligo was not popular, however, with members of the House of Assembly or the majority of the Jamaican planters who adhered to the letter of the Abolition Act, which forced the slaves to provide 40 and a half hours per week of free labor to their former masters for a period of years before they could achieve full freedom. In this turbulent period, Sligo was often accused, you know, of interpreting the law in favor of the Negroes, as they call them then. He was also regarded as a friend of the nonconformist missionaries and sympathetic to their activities. So it's actually the missionaries that were trying to help the people of those areas at that time. But it went on to say, and in this book, there's a beautiful picture of a candelabra, a gorgeous silver candelabra, that the apparently the slaves, or the ex-slaves, got made as a tribute to the person who helped them, you know, and it's inscribed, and there's a picture of it. And this was done in 1837. It was presented to him. And then the article went on to say that some descendants of this same person visited Jamaica in 1996, and they attended a memorial service at the Sligoville Church. So I just thought that was a very interesting tidbit that I could share with you. And I don't know if there's anyone online that's from St. Catherine, but as far as I'm concerned, I remember when I was living there that I was always very conscious that it was the only place on the island where people that were sentenced to death would be executed. And I know it's not, I think it has been abolished now or suspended or something, but all the years that I lived in Jamaica, whenever anyone was going to be, was sentenced to be executed, then they were hung in Spanish Town. That's where, that's the only place on the island that it was done. So that was an interesting tidbit to me also. But I just wanted to tell you that there are a couple of other interesting information about that, including some present-day information that is not very glamorous, but still, you know, I always say facts are facts. You can't change them. I mean, physically change them. We can send what is happening, you know, our best thoughts, especially those of us who don't live there, or we believe in just the possibility of a turnaround, because some of our listeners will know that a lot of the news coming out where crime is concerned, it's very, very high. And they're saying here that it's especially high in that area of the country, in Spanish Town, to be exact. Anyway, I want to now tell you a little bit about the fact that for some of you racing fans, I don't know if you're into racing here, but Caymanas Park is I think it's, I'm sure it's in St. Catherine, and with somebody or near St. Catherine. But anyway, there was something else I wanted to tell you about Sligoville, but I don't seem to have the right paper here. But let me just share with you what I remembered when I was growing up. I remembered having the Rio Cobra River, or parts of it, run through part of the property that I was living on at the time. And there was so much vegetation around it. I remember it just being so beautiful. And my father would take me down there. You know, we'd just sit by the river, and it was just the most peaceful time. And as I can just picture it in my mind's eye, I remember they had something that they called, I'm sure it's called Injun cane or something like that. It's like a kale. It's perhaps Injun kale. It had wide leaves, and I don't remember if it's the dasheen or what that grows to the root of it. But I remember that while we were there, they would have people digging these things up, and they would take out the root of it. I think it was the dasheen. And if any of our callers know anything about the plantation that is usually close to the river, please help to fill me in. But now I want to tell you about some of the cities that are in St. Catherine. Excuse me, please. Now, the Raycobe River and a gorge is one of the largest in the island. It has a sinking place that is called River Sink at Worthy Park. It runs underground for nearly 6 kilometers, then surfaces at Head River Grand Cave in St. Thomas in the Vale. Before entering the gorge, it is joined by a number of tributaries, such as the Thomas River and the Rio de Ore, O-R-E, Dior, and the Rio Pedro. In the early 1700s, a road was opened through the gorge. The flat bridge was originally constructed of logs, which was washed away in a flood. The present bridge was built, and it has withstood several floods. Now, I remember, I don't know if any of our listeners do, but I remember a lot of times when we would be going across to some part of the country, we couldn't go over flat bridge because if it was a rainy season, you know, it would be impossible. You couldn't drive through. You'd have to turn back and go from whence you came. But to know in the old days, it was just made of wood. So I can imagine, you know, getting around was no party in the old days. However, I understand that there has been so much improvement in the roadways in Jamaica over the last perhaps 5 or 10 years that, you know, getting from one place to another is not what it used to be. So let me go back to Spanish Town. Excuse me. Now, in the old days, you know, before, let's see now, in what century this was, they said it was not prosperous. Spanish Town was, you know, lost its luster after a while. But there was something very interesting here because they say, you know, during the off season for the sugar, in the old days, Spanish Town was the place that the plantation owners and their wives and their servants would go there to Spanish Town for sort of recreation. So it was, let's call it the vacation capital it was at that time. It says the town was a hive of activity during the dead season on the sugar estate. That is from October to Christmas. Then the legislature met, and planters, their wives and servants, would come in from all over the island to stay for this social season that included the races. So horse racing was going on from those days. It says Spanish Town boasted one of the earliest newspapers, the San Diego de la Vega Gazette, and it was published by William Daniels, who, like other journeymen in the early developing print shops in the West Indies, was trained at the printery of the famous American Benjamin Franklin in Philadelphia. However, Kingston, which was established after the 1692 earthquake destroyed Port Royal, was the great mercantile center, and Kingstonians enviously sought to have their city become the capital. So So in 1755, the merchants curry favored. Now, I always hear that term and didn't know that it was really a regular English term. C-U-R-R-I-E-D-F-A-V-O-U-R. I always, and our listeners can relate to this, they tell people that they're curry favor or they're getting curry favor. But here it is in this dictionary, this encyclopedia, that in 1755, the merchants curry favor with the governor, Sir Charles Knowles, who persuaded him to force a bill through the legislature for the removal of the capital to Kingston. As soon as the bill was passed, the archives were taken there. The people of Spanish Town lodged a swift protest with the King of England, and Knowles was replaced by Sir Henry Moore. So even in those days, you know, people lobbied and get what they wanted. The bill was eventually proclaimed illegal since the king had not given his assent. And in 1758, the archives were loaded up on 30 heavily armored wagons and sent back to Spanish Town. One overturned and was lost in the swamp at Ferry. So, as you know, even then there was rumbling and disagreement. So, you know, as we think about things today, you know, with one people being for one thing and another people being for something else, you know, this has been going on as long as humans existed. So the lessons I'm getting from all of this is that, you know, whatever our differences is, we can get over them. And the quicker we get over them is the better off everybody is. You know, even in our personal lives, as we face differences of opinion and, you know, even within our families and our towns and our country, we just have to find a common ground that we can agree on so that we can move on with the ultimate that everybody wants, and that is to be happy and peaceful, you know, because that's where it all is. You know, it starts with, if we can't find peace within ourselves, then, we, you know, we can't spread it within our communities and within our country and even within our families. So as we look back in history, we see that, you know, there was always strife. There was always people who wanted to do one thing and somebody who wanted to do something else. So it's not new. And I think as we evolve as humans, we just need to find better ways of working it out. Anyway, I'll get off my platform now. And we're going to talk a little bit more about Spanish Town. There's a very famous church, the Spanish Town Baptist Church. This Baptist church has been designated as a national monument. It is better known as Filippo Church after the Reverend Filippo, one of the celebrated ministers. This is the same one I told you who, you know, helped to form the free town of Sligoville. But the church itself dates back to 1827, though its congregation existed since 1819. And I am just hoping that it will continue to be preserved, you know, as a special monument. Once it's designated, I suppose the government perhaps hopefully give funds to keep it in a pristine state, or the members help. But I also noticed online that they had there is a current group of people from that parish who had formed, I don't know how active it is, but had formed an association, you know, to encourage people to visit the parish, especially those that might have left even within the country and are living in other places, because they have so many treasures that need to be preserved and celebrated. Now, I see I have a hand up. So I'm going to open up the mic to 718-379. Good evening. This is Margaret, and you're on Backyard Labrish. Who am I speaking with?
This is Leigh from the Bronx, the home of the Yankees.
Okay, Mr. Home of the Yankees. This is the home of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
But we're not going to talk about that. Welcome to the Backyard.
Yeah, since you're on Spanish Town, I just want to note that an experiment had been going on. This is more current than historical. The first fish farm was in Spanish Town, and I think the farm still exists, but I'm not sure if there is a fish in the farm.
Oh, really? This is where they raise the fish,
yeah.
You know, in an enclosed environment.
Yeah.
Oh, and do you know what kind of fish they were specializing in?
Well, no, I only know that they tried to rear fish there for local consumption. But you start to wonder why in a place like Jamaica that's surrounded by water, surrounded by fish, would want to be in a fish farm.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I suppose it would possibly be more economical. They can grow a larger amount of fish in a controlled environment as to going out to catch,
yeah.
You know, fishes. So I suppose that would be one way to look at it.
Yeah, the other thing which is historical that I wanted to mention was I remember learning about it in local Jamaica history. The Pen Venerables, you know, that's when the Jamaica was captured from the Spanish, and handed over to the English by this guy. His name was Richard Guy, as a matter of fact, and Guy's Hill was named after him.
Oh, so Guy's Hill is in St. Catherine?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's not one of the towns
I
saw mentioned here.
Yeah, the big event was Pen Venerables.
Yeah.
And that was, when a battle, actually, when the English took over from the Spaniards.
Right, right, right. There's interesting thing here. Because, you know, there is believed to be a cave that has some bats that is possibly extinct, but they believe that there's still some of them within that, the only place in the world that they are. Were you familiar with that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah, they... It's called, as a matter of fact, is a complex cave, and it contains one of the most notable bat roost on the island, and is one of the few known historical sites for the possible extinct bat, and it has the name here that I can't pronounce, Phyllonycterisapilla. That's the name
that's
of the
bat. That's a good word for Scrabble, I guess.
Right. That they believe is maybe extinct, but because of the biological importance of the system and in the inherent dangers involving exploring it, it has some poisonous gases in it, they think. They say casual visitation is discouraged. But it's the only place. You know, it's interestingly, but almost every parish we have done so far, there is something, a natural resource that is considered very important to the world.
In the past we learned formally or informally that Jamaica is rich in these natural resources.
Mm-hmm.
And of course the one that comes to mind is bauxite, and the quality of Jamaican bauxite was the best in the world. You know, there are a few, and I'm sure that there are other things that were not developed to the extent that it's well known, you know.
Right, right. But I am wondering if any of this is being taught in the history of the island. You know, for instance, the resources that we have that is so unique, the unique resources. If it is part of the historical curriculum, or if the history now is similar to what it was during the colonial times. Are you familiar? Do you know?
Well, no, but I'm assuming that any decent school that teaches history would chronicle all of these events, and probably
They're chronicled in different things, because I got some of this information from Wikipedia and this dictionary, this encyclopedia I told you that was gifted to me. It's called the Encyclopedia of Jamaica Heritage by Olive Senior.
Right.
And it's just set up like an encyclopedia. You know, you can look up what you want. You go on. It's just like you would a dictionary. Most of it is very detailed, though, the information on the, you know, whatever word is detailed.
But whether or not history is in the curriculum of these schools
if things like that,
yeah,
that is unique to Jamaica, you know, as opposed to the rest of the world, if that is being highlighted as part of the history.
You wonder about
that. It would be interesting to find that out. But anyway, you know, it's just, I thought it very interesting to know that each parish, of all the seven parishes we've done so far, there's always something unique about each individual parish. Now, let's talk a little bit about the racing there, because, you know, racing is a big industry in Jamaica.
Stick up in there, Madge. Just before, you had mentioned that in the river valleys there were a lot of green and, you know, the kind of vegetation that you would see around
the river. Yeah.
You don't see anywhere else. Well, one of the things that came to mind is watercress.
Yeah. You
know, that thing that, you know, that we would put in
salads. Mm-hmm.
The best kind of watercress comes from that area, and especially around Ferry.
Oh, really?
Are used to, let's put it that way, because a lot of these waterways, so to speak, they sometimes harness the water and use the water in different ways. So it destroys the vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
And there is another thing that used to come out of these. What is that thing? It's on the tip of my tongue, but you know, shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Crawfish.
Yes, crayfish.
Crawfish. We always call it crawfish.
Right. That comes out of the riverbed.
River is a river, like a river shrimp.
And that was big in that area.
Right. Well, do you know that the St. Catherine prison, the prison there?
Yeah.
The original building was erected from the proceeds of a will of George Fletcher dated 1714, a maximum security prison. This is where hangings were carried out. I had no idea it was so old.
Well, it had to be old, because if you're talking about the seat of the government being in Spanish Town from the days of the Spanish had the control of the island, it had to be very old.
Yeah, You're suggesting that they needed a prison even in those early days.
Well, you know, just from in a historical sense, I don't think you would have a major country owning a colony without a prison.
Right, I see
yeah.
what you mean. Because it was interesting as I was reading. I came across some information that suggested that the Spaniards weren't very good fighters when it came to defending the capital, you know, whatever
yeah.
it was named then. Because, and another thing is sometimes the opposing army, whoever that was trying to take them over, because apparently a lot of mini attempts were made from, you know, different people. But they say sometimes they would defect because I suppose landing on Jamaica, it was so beautiful that they would come over to the Spanish side, you know, so they could stay.
Yeah, that's possible.
I mean, there are just some very interesting little tidbits that you can really pick up from reading in details, you know, what went on. But an interesting thing about the prison lay is that even to now, there are parts of the prison that you can stay and actually watch a cricket match because there is a cricket ground there.
Yes, right next to the prison.
Yes, you're familiar with it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's called Prison Oval.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
I know it, yeah.
So it's a patch where the prisoners can actually see the match while it's going on.
And you know, those prison walls are amazingly preserved over time. You know, when you walk by.
It was built of good stuff.
Yeah, it's built very well, like a fortress.
Uh-huh.
It's like, it's very ominous when you pass there. You can figure all these hangings went on right in that inside behind those walls, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's very historical.
Right. Well, you know, there was up until, I suppose, I forgot what year it was I was reading, that they wanted to reinstate, the former government wanted to reinstate the hangings, you know, but it was voted down by the Privy Council in London.
Yeah, the human rights.
The courthouse, you know, it's Spanish Town is one of the places that have more of the Spanish style of buildings than any other place in Jamaica, because a lot of them are still standing. And as the website of this group, I tell you, that want to sort of rejuvenate the people who were born there or who have a love for St. Catherine, they said that every Jamaican has something in Spanish Town because that is where all our records are. The birth, the deaths, the marriages.
Very lucky.
And it has always been.
Well, in recent years, they have computerized records.
Yes, but it's still, operating
out of there?
I know, but
you're talking about the original documents. I would think maybe still available. I don't know.
But
I'm saying in recent times, they've taken those documents and computerized them. And in fact, you can get a birth certificate
online
in a very short time.
But here's the question. Can you register somebody online if you had a baby or something like that? Is it done online or is it still happening?
I can't answer that. I doubt that that's possible because how can you verify the physical
right.
That, you know?
Yeah, so I suppose that perhaps what they meant by that is that the documentation, the papers itself is still going there.
Yeah.
It's still being, I suppose, housed there.
That's probably what they... As I'm talking to you, I'm remembering that the best Blackie mango, you know, you remember Blackie
mm-hmm.
mango?
Comes
from that area.
Black mango.
Black mango. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't see much here about mangoes. I don't remember if I called that out when I was reading all the various things.
No, you didn't. But St. Catherine is so varied in what they produce that it may not be in quantities to be documented. But I'm quite sure there's another mango as well as the blackie, the robin. Mango.
Huh? Yeah.
Robin, that comes from that area.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to say that Spanish Town boasts it has the oldest iron bridge of its kind in the Western Hemisphere. It was erected in 1801 at the cost of £4,000. It also has one of the first Spanish cathedrals to be established in the New World. It was built in 1525, the first cathedral.
Oh, yeah.
Now, most religious denominations have churches or meeting halls in Spanish Town, they say. Besides the Anglican cathedral, there is a Roman Catholic church, and there are Wesleyan, Baptist, Seventh-day Adventist chapels, mosques. I mean, just everything is there.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I didn't know that, you know. Now, this bridge they're talking about, do you know where it is?
Well, I am wondering if it's the same iron bridge that, you know, the railways used to go through on a bridge that I think they call it Iron Bridge.
Mm.
Now, I'm not sure if that's the same bridge they're talking about, but I remember not so long ago that I think they closed the bridge because there's no more railways, and the highway that goes through, I guess you don't need that bridge anymore. Unfortunately.
I
know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to ask our listeners, and we have a lot of listeners online. I don't know if anyone is from that area, but I mentioned the young man I met who grew up in Portmore, and he's here in my city. He's a bank manager. And he was telling me that, you know, in the days when Spanish Town really started to grow, they did not really like have enough policemen to service the area. And when the small farmers would experience a lot of theft and things from other people, they would take the law in their own hands. And he said one of the things they would do if they caught them red-handed, the thieves, they would put the old tires around them and light the tires afire.
Well,
you ever heard of that?
Oh, that's terrible.
I asked him if he would come online and tell me about that. He said he had never really seen it, but he had heard what had happened because it's like, you know, there was so much of that going on. There was stealing people's things, and there was no police around. So they became their own vigilantes. And whenever they caught somebody, that was the way they would punish them. Now, I don't know if they would make the thing burn to death or they would just do it. I don't suppose they would do it just to scare them or so they never ever come back or what.
That sounds like Abu Ghraib right there in Portsmouth.
Beg your pardon?
That sounds like Abu Ghraib or Guantanamo right there in
Right. But it might not have been happening right in Portmore, but, you know, in parts of St. Catherine. It was definitely happening in St. Catherine, he said.
I'm wondering, and I wish that fellow would come on because I think the bridge that goes over to Portmore is a toll bridge.
They have toll bridge out there now?
Well, to get to Portmore, you know.
Ah.
I think you need to go over that bridge.
Oh, I see.
And they charge you for it.
Well, I understand there are so many beautiful roads and highways out there now that it's a breeze to get from one part, certain parts, from one part of the island to the next.
Well, I had an experience with, I had a driver drive me from Trelawney to Kingston, and he had to go through St. Catherine, and it was a wonder where that level flat terrain that you were talking about, it is so picturesque, with trees there, vegetation that you don't see anywhere else on the island.
Oh, really?
I was amazed by that. And we used it was his first time on the highway.
Uh-huh.
And in fact, when returning, he came off at the wrong exit and, he was a bit baffled. So he says, what we're going to do? So I said, you have to get off the highway and turn back, come the other side.
So how you know what you're supposed to do when he was the driver?
Well, I'm used to highways. He isn't. This was his first time.
All right, I got you.
So he says, can't we back up? And then the next thing is I said, no, you can't back up. So he did what we had to do, go over and come back.
He
says, do we have to pay again? I thought that was funny,
Right, right. Well,
but,
have you ever heard of Goat Islands?
I don't think so. Goat
Islands.
Oh,
well, this is two. It is actually in Old Harbor Bay in St. Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, used mostly by fishermen.
Yeah.
However, it was so called because they were originally the haunt of wild goats in 1941 during the Second World War under the lend-lease arrangement between Britain and the USA. The USA established bases at Little Goat Island and nearby Salt Creek and Sandy Gully on the mainland.
I've been to Sandy Gully.
Right. I knew about the Sandy Gully, but listen to what is making sense to me now, Lee. I remember during the days of the war hearing the planes go by and we had light out. You had to put out all the lights.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Blackout,
yes. Lights out, I'm calling. But now I realize it's because the U.S. and Britain had bases there. I didn't know that. I was a little girl, of course. And I was always wondering why they were knocking on the gate to tell you to put out whatever little light you had.
Well, during that period, we had air raids. I mean, what you call...
Right. That's when the planes, and you hear the... signal.
And there was, I don't know what they call them then, but people in different neighborhoods all over the island mobilized. You had leaders. I think my father was one of those guys that put on his helmet and the thing on his sleeve and walk up and down the block
making people
sure
put outside. I remember people knocking on the
yeah,
door.
Yeah, it was serious business.
One night in particular, I suppose because I was so traumatized, I think I wasn't feeling well. I might have been sick. And my mother had a little lamp or something. It seemed like it was nobody could see it. And all of a sudden, after the siren went off and the planes went over, we heard a knocking on the gate. Then the next thing they were knocking on the door for her to put out this light.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's in my memory because I remember her telling them that I was sick and she can't put out the light. And they were like, they were going to kick the door down. So she had to hide out.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw a Peeny Wally,
mm-hmm.
when there was a blackout, it looked like a shining
headlight.
Yeah, it looked like headlights. Yeah.
Yeah, but I let me just read to you here what because I didn't know about this Goat Islands thing.
Okay.
I knew about Sandigoli afterwards, you know, when I was sort of grown. This experience I'm talking about happened when I was, you know, whatever time the war was then. But now, as I'm reading this today, I said, damn, no wonder the planes were filed. They were trying to find out where these bases were so they could bomb them. It's a damn good thing we put out the light. Or perhaps we'd have a couple of bombs, you know, dropped. But they said, no, I knew about Sandigola later on when I grew up. They said these strategic areas were occupied by the Americans up to 1949.
Yeah.
A special post office was set up at Portland Bright for the use of United States personnel only. Mail bearing United States stamps with a Jamaican cancellation mark could legally be sent from here. That is the Goat Island place.
Yeah.
And this, again, I'm telling you, I'm getting from this encyclopedia, but I was led to that by something I saw on, I think it was the website of this group of people from St. Catherine that's trying to revitalize people's interest in helping to, you know, preserve some of the artifacts and the historic buildings and things that are there. But I want to go back to the Caymanas racing now. That has to be really taking on a life of its own. And, you know, there's a lot of interest in that because there are different stories about, you know, some of the Jamaican people who, one or two Jamaicans who predict the winners from race to race. And this is information I'm seeing on the internet, and it's so cute because we can relate to our people, you know. And they say this particular man that they were describing at the time would give different winners to different people on the same race, you know.
That's illegal.
Yeah, and he would collect, you know what I mean? He not only collect when he give them the tip, but he also collect if the horse comes in. But the interesting thing is, whereas most people are, I know in the cities, the other cities, you know, you pick a winner and you know, you don't change from that if you're giving a tip, you know, but he would give different people different tips on the same race for different horses. So, you know, what you would call that him in our day, a samphire. Remember that word?
Yeah.
He was a samphire, man. So, but he was having a good time. Anyway, I want to know, thank our listeners for listening. I am hoping that the next parish we're going to do, we will have a little more participation and some of the people will, and I always welcome my loyal fan from the Bronx, home of the Yankees. But we need, where are you from, Mr. Loyal Fan, home of the Yankees? Where were you born and raised?
I was born in St. Andrew, but raised in Kingston.
Oh, I see. So, but you still have had a lot to contribute to some of these.
Because after I left the island, that's when I went around the island a lot, you know.
After you left.
And just a quickie, I went into Spanish Town looking for a certain address. Well,
mm-hmm.
The address I was looking for, I thought was right in Spanish Town. And unfortunately, I went into Spanish Town looking for this place. And the person told me that everybody knows me. So I went down to the post office and asked that nobody knew of this person. What it is, she lived on the main that goes up to Bog Walk from Spanish Town.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of inside of Spanish Town, which I advise you and your listeners, never try to go into Spanish Town because it's like the Roach Motel. You go in and you can't come out. monumental traffic jam 24/7.
Really?
I mean, yeah, because they have a huge market there, you know.
Right in on the main?
Right, no, inside of the Capitol that we're
talking. Oh, I got you.
And you just can't get around. And there are so many shops and, people selling and the market and bustling going on that it's like Christmas there already.
Oh, so where's Portmore in?
Portmore, I would say, would be about 15 miles from Kingston.
Yes, but in terms of Spanish Town, where would
In Spanish Town, I think that would be like southeast of Spanish Town.
And how far from Spanish Town would Portmore be?
I can't tell you exactly, but it's a good ways off, I think, from Spanish Town.
Oh, so they're away from. It's more like the suburbs.
Yeah, when it's built now as a metropolis or metropolitan area, I can't really see that because originally it was like a suburb, and it was a thriving development when for housing and it was quite nice over there initially. But it's off the beaten track, and if you worked in Kingston and lived in Portmore, it's quite a hike to get on the highway and beat the traffic and go over the bridge, and especially now that, to my mind, I'm almost sure that they have to pay a toll.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's...
When was this development started? Because I don't remember any of that when I left there.
I wouldn't have known about it except that one of my swimming pals lived in Portsmouth. He, when the development started, he was one of the first to get in on it, and so he lived there. So I visited him there earlier on,
I got you.
In the time period, I don't know. It was well after I left. I would say maybe in the late 60s or so that this thing came into.
That it started.
Yeah.
Because I was not familiar with it at all. In as much as when the young man said to me he was from Portmore, I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah, it's a fairly big development and location.
Right, but as you say, it got started after independence, what I mean.
I would say so, yeah.
Oh, great. Another thing I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that it mentioned here. There was a painter. He I think he was perhaps a Rastafarian. You don't hear much about him. I think his last name was K-A-P-P-O, Kapo, or something like that. But he had exhibits that are all over the world. I mean, he died, I think, perhaps 10 years ago, but I was reading where he's got exhibits in Panama, in Canada, just all over the place. There are so many heroes or people who accomplished something, and people all over the world are enjoying, some of what they did, whether it's in writing something or designing something or painting something. I really never heard of him, and I'm having a little computer problem, so I wasn't able to retrieve that information. But I just thought it's so interesting, and it brings me to the point of people leaving some sort of history about themselves or about their period, because so much is lost
when it's not documented. You know what I mean? Just like how Dr. Joy Lumsden is trying to piece together information about people who contributed in some way to the society or the world, but it's so difficult because they themselves had no, you know, written or living memories or that they recorded.
Yeah.
But so for someone else to try to piece it together, it makes it so much more difficult. And we all have our personal history. So I just want to encourage our listeners, I see we have quite a few listeners online, to think about leaving a footprint by joining us on the Backyard, because these shows are archived. I mean, the shows that we did a year ago, someone can go and listen to them on Blog Talk Radio. If you just direct them, send them one of your links that you get and tell them to click on any show that they may be interested in. That is the wonderful part about this kind of platform, Lay, because unlike a regular radio talk show or a radio show, if you are not listening at that particular time to whatever the information is that
it's
is being
gone,
shared,
yeah.
You know, it's lost forever.
Yeah.
But with this format, it's always it's always there in the archives to access.
And it's documented, right? You could pinpoint a particular show
right.
on a particular subject.
Uh-huh, definitely. And also I want to ask our listeners to join us in the Backyard itself, which is www.backyardlabridge.com. There you can build a profile. It's a very safe site, and you can interact with other members of the Backyard or just interact with us. Let us know what you think about the website, and we're trying to update it with some more current tidbits, but please join us and help us build a community, because we do want to celebrate our Jamaican heritage and leave a footprint for the next generation to come, and even the present generation. Hopefully they will find out how passionate we are about retaining the wonderful history of our great country, and they will be a little more mindful of how they think about it and what they do to it and how they represent it in terms of, you know, to other people all over the world. So I ask you to join me and let us just form a force that will be heard all over the world, that we love our country. Right, Lay?
Amen.
And we want to celebrate our roots. So think twice before you do something that would deface what we hold so dear. So with that in mind, I want to thank our listeners for joining us again this week, and to ask you to come back next week when we'll be celebrating another parish, and hopefully we'll have some more live information about that parish. And I haven't chosen it yet. I will perhaps do that in another couple of days. I'm trying to join the parishes, Lay, so that we connect from one parish to the next. You know what I mean?
Right. I just came back from Toronto and got a lovely map of Jamaica. And, you know, it refreshes my memory where places are. So.
Right, right.
That's a good thing.
And that's one of the things that this is doing for me as I do my research to find out a little bit about the different parishes. It's just refreshing my memory, like I remembered about being by the Rio Cobre River, you know, when I lived in Spanish Town for a short time. And I remember the vegetation, you know, there and all of that. And just that pleasant memory can do a lot, you know, for you, especially in these times when we have so many other stressful things going on in our lives, just to have some reflection that brings back good memories. So I hope that our listeners enjoy that in the Backyard each week with us, because we're certainly having a wonderful time sharing the information. Right, Leigh?
Yeah, and I hope they would jump in a little bit.
Yes. They seem to be a little shy, some of them. But I'm hoping that we'll be able to warm them up.
Yep.
So we might have to go try to serve some virtual, you-know-what, warmer-upper.
Yeah.
The little thing that we put in our drink every now and then to warm us up.
Well, a little rum punch wouldn't hurt.
Right. Okay. Made with the real thing.
Yeah.
So, again, thank you for joining us, 631 and 718. And all you wonderful people listening online, we thank you for coming by to share with us this evening. And hope you'll come back next week when we'll be here with our Discovering Jamaica One Parish at a Time. And we'll celebrate another parish next week.
Good night from the Bronx. Bye-bye.
Good night from Atlanta. And thank you for joining us. And make it a great weekend. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.